Today we're going to continue our sermon series in the writings of the Old Testament prophet called Habakkuk. We're going to be studying Habakkuk 2:2-5, so please go ahead and open there so you can follow along. Now, every line of scripture in the Bible is obviously sacred and important, but there's just certain passages, certain verses that when you come upon them in the Bible, you know that you're on holy ground. And today, we're going to hit on one of those verses today. Now, the time is 605 BC, and because of the disobedience of the nation of Israel, for centuries, God has promised, has now brought judgment on the nation. A once large and prosperous empire under Kings David and Solomon has been reduced to just Jerusalem and its suburbs. A prophet named Habakkuk has been told by God that he will bring the ruthless Babylonians, the pagans, from present-day Iraq upon Jerusalem to finally judge Israel for its violence and injustice. And it is going to be bad. God makes that very clear to Habakkuk. In as much tragedy and as much chaos, the righteous people of God had suffered in Israel under Israel's regime, it's going to get worse under the Babylonians. And it's going to be that way for some time, some indeterminate amount of time. So there's going to be hard times for the people of God, and they were going to get even harder. So what were the righteous ones left in Israel to do? Well, we're going to hear from God himself what they're to do. So if I can ask you to stand for the reading of Scripture, we'll be looking at Habakkuk 2:2-5. This is the words of Almighty God himself. Then the Lord replied, "Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous will live by his faith. Indeed, wine betrays him. He is arrogant and never at rest. Because he is as greedy as the grave and like death is never satisfied, he gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all the peoples." Please be seated. Now, it's kind of interesting. In the Talmud, which is a compendium of Jewish theology written over centuries, from about the time of Christ, I think they started writing the Talmud, all the way to 700 AD. It's kind of like a Jewish commentary on the Old Testament. A Talmud contributor named Rabbi Simlai insightfully noted something. I never knew this before. You might want to write this down. This is really neat. Moses gave 613 laws. Yeah, in the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, 613 laws, various laws. But then, later on, David gives 11 laws. In Psalm 15, that begins with, "Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill?" David follows with 8 commands. In other words, he gives a summary of the 613 by Moses. Then Micah gives 3 laws, an even more distilled list in Micah 6:8, a pretty famous passage. "He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, 1. To love mercy, 2. And to walk humbly with your God, 3. And then Isaiah distills it even further into 2 laws. Isaiah 56:1. This is what the Lord says. Maintain justice, 1, and do what is right, 2. Pretty simple. For my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. And then it comes to Habakkuk. He distills it down to 1. 1 law. Habakkuk 2:4, the righteous will live by his faith. And this, saints, is the holy ground that I spoke of. I want to say arguably Habakkuk 2:4 is one of the most important verses in the entire Old Testament. And I'm going to go on record as saying, but I want to show you today that it is also one of the most important verses in the entire Bible, Old Testament or New Testament. And it sort of binds together the people of faith from the time of Habakkuk all the way to now. And so I hope to show that to you today. The righteous will live by his faith was a powerful message for Habakkuk, original righteous hearers, amidst their tragedy and their chaos. But saints, I want to tell you that God brings us that same message forward today. Those of us who are living amidst tragedy and chaos, which really is just life. The righteous will live by his faith. So what I want to do today is drill down by making four important points. What is meant by being righteous at Habakkuk's time? Then bring it forward what it means for the righteous today. Then explain an alternate lifestyle. An alternate lifestyle to living by faith, and that is living like a Babylonian. And I would conclude with invitations both to the righteous and to the Babylonians living among us today. But before I begin, let's pray. Lord God, I lift up this time to you. Lord, I pray that you would put your words into my mouth. Let me not speak a word that is not of you. And Lord, I pray that you be preparing all of our hearts to hear what we are going to learn today. May we learn this. Lord, may the righteous grow closer to you, become more committed than ever before. And Lord, those that are living far away from you, I pray that they would make a decision today to come to know you as Savior. Lord, may not one of us leave this time together the same as we came. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me begin with what it meant for the righteous at Habakkuk's time. And it's simple. It's just this. Continue to live by your faith until the entire Babylonian judgment on Israel is over. Again, what it meant for the people at Habakkuk's time, not the people, but the righteous people at Habakkuk's time, was continue to live by your faith until the Babylonian judgment is over with. And I want to tease this out a little bit. So let's begin in verse 2. Verse 2 draws attention to the significance of this revelation, which really covers all of chapter 2, so you know that. Prophets were told by God numerous times to record the revelations from God, but I want you to notice this time is different. Habakkuk is told to record the revelation on tablets. Now, only one other time in the entire Bible is a revelation recorded on tablets. Does anybody know what other time a revelation of God was on tablets? The Ten Commandments, yes, the Ten Commandments. The only other time. This revelation was important and not to be lost. Heralds were to run with it. This revelation was to be understood, assimilated, preserved, and propagated for all time, even to right now. Then in verse 3, Habakkuk told that the revelation would unfold on God's time. The promise that it will not prove false makes us believe that appearances might be deceiving for some time. The promise that it will not delay reminds us that our timetable is usually not God's timetable. We have been spoiled with instant news, instant food, and instant solutions. We need to be patient when it comes to the unfolding of God's plans. And in verses 4 and 5, God confirms that Israel will indeed fall into Babylonian subjugation. And I want you to know, and God wanted them to know, that they are bad people. Not upright, but greedy. As previously alluded to in verses 115 to 17, it looks like those that aren't killed by the Babylonians will be taken and subjected to captivity. And it sounds like this will go on for some time. And the people do not know at this point how long that time will go on. They are to be patient. Well, what are the righteous survivors supposed to do? Those that Those that lived through the Babylonian conquest, what are they to do? Well, verse 4 is very simple. God tells them, the righteous will live by their faith. Amidst the tragedy and chaos in Israel, the righteous had lived by their faith. And amidst the even worsening tragedy and chaos that was to come under the Babylonians, the righteous were to continue to live by their faith. Did you know that having faith simply means believing God? That's it. The first Jew, Abraham, was told his wife, who at the time was 75 years old and was infertile, could not conceive a child. She's 75 years old now, and God tells Abraham that he would give him a son. And in Genesis 15:6, the word of God says, Abram believed the Lord, and he, meaning God, credited to him, meaning Abraham, as righteousness. Abraham believed God, and God credited to him into his account as righteousness. Saints, we are declared in the same way righteous by God when we simply believe him. All we have to do is simply believe God, to believe his promises, to believe his commands, and then act like they're true because they are true. It's not that complicated. This was the case then in Habakkuk's time, and this is the case right now. And so I want to stop right now and ask you to ask yourself, is there something I need to believe God about today? Is there a promise that I need to believe? Is there a command I need to believe? And I want to encourage you. I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord God, I pray that if there is something we need to believe, either a promise or a command, that we would believe you today and act like we did, Lord. I pray that we would walk in what we believe. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. But I want to tell you, it was going to be difficult for the people to do this during Habakkuk's time. They were going to see their temple destroyed. They were going to see their city destroyed. And many of their loved ones were going to be killed. When they are deported to a strange land, 600 miles away. And they had to endure 70 years exiled from Israel. They had to wait 70 years for their kingdom to be restored. Faith meant trust and even joy in the face of terrible adversity. Faith meant knowing that their covenant God was faithful and could be trusted to keep his promises. And faith meant knowing that God would restore their kingdom, and they had to continue to live in that coming reality. That's what faith meant. So that's what it meant for the righteous at Habakkuk's time, to continue to live by the faith that they had done and endured through when Israel was unjust, to be able to live through the Babylonian judgment too. Okay, so but what does that mean for us today? What does it mean for the righteous today? Write this down. This is really important. You got to get this. Ready? Live by your faith. Live by your faith. That's what it meant then. That's what it means now. Life in a fallen world, which we live in now, is continuing tragedy and chaos, just like it was in Habakkuk's day. The New Testament writers knew that, and that's why Habakkuk 2:4 is quoted in three different books of the New Testament. And those books and where they are quoted really give us insight on what this verse really means. This verse is used by each New Testament writer to help us understand the three main words, righteous, live, and faith. So let's work through those to see what this means for us today. In Romans 1:16-17, the Apostle Paul writes this, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation for everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, catch this now, a righteousness from God, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The book of Romans clearly explains that the righteous is credited, that righteousness is credited to a person by God the moment they believe the gospel. The gospel simply means the good news of Jesus Christ. The moment a person believes the good news of Jesus Christ, righteousness is credited to that person. Righteousness not for the moment, righteousness for all eternity. See, the gospel is very simple. God loves us. That's where it starts. God loves us. But we are sinners against the laws of God. And because we are sinners, there's no remedy because all crime has to be paid for. All sins have to be paid for. So that we would not have to pay the penalty for our sins, which is eternal damnation in hell, Jesus, the Son of God, paid the penalty for our sins, so we wouldn't have to pay. And that payment gets credited to us when we receive Jesus as our Savior, Savior from our sins, and when we say that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord, the one whom we will obey. So I want you to notice, first, sinners are declared righteous when we believe the gospel, and then two, then we live by faith. We live by faith because of what we know. It's a response. Our living by faith is a response to what God has done through Jesus for us. It is not God's response to our living by faith. That's an important distinction. And then in Hebrews 10:36, the unknown writer writes this. You need to persevere. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Now, I want you to notice that's an echo of Habakkuk 2:3. But now the writer sees the end that's talked about in Habakkuk 2:3. The end that he sees is when Jesus returns. But my righteous one will live by faith. There's Habakkuk 2:4 again. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. In the context of what is being discussed, really in the whole book of Hebrews, but especially in chapter 10, the writer is defining how we shall live. Righteous people of God live with perseverance. The righteous people of God persevere through hard times. Hard times like what Habakkuk's people had to go through, or hard times like we're living through right now. Those declared righteous by God will live with perseverance by their faith. So we figure out what righteous is, how we shall live, and now here comes faith. Galatians 3:11, the Apostle Paul writes this. Clearly, no one is justified, that means declared righteous or declared not guilty, before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. There's Habakkuk 2:4 again. Thinking you can earn God's declaration of righteousness by keeping his law is a fool's errand. We all fail. We all fall short and will sin. God's laws don't save us, people. God's laws actually condemn us because we can't keep them perfectly, which is God's standard. A theme of the book of Galatians is to disprove the notion that those who live by faith are then declared righteous based on their goodness. Now, one is declared righteous by God because of Jesus' goodness, his perfectly sinless life, not ours. He suffered as a sinner for the payment of our sins so that his sinless life could be credited to our account. Is anybody excited about that? Is anybody glad? That deserves an amen. So the three books of the New Testament give us a fuller understanding of Habakkuk 2:4, and here it is. Those declared righteous by God because they believe the gospel shall live with perseverance by their faith in God's promises and commands. That's it. That's it. There's the Bible's message. The message of faith in Habakkuk was also for us. That's why it was recorded on tablets, carried by heralds. It was recorded on tablets so we could have this revelation. Because the truth is that all life is lived with some matter of tragedy and chaos. That's life in a fallen world. It's all a matter of degree based on where you are, where you live, and what season you're going through. There's always, life will always have tragedy and chaos. You know, when this pandemic first happened, it first started, I should say, the president of Converge, that's a association of churches that our church is part of, called all the U.S. pastors together on a webinar. And he challenged us, the president challenged us by saying, you each need to answer a question for yourself. And the question is this, is what we're going through right now, and he was referring to the pandemic. He said, is this a blizzard? Is this a winter? Or is this a new ice age? Is it a blizzard that's going to pass? You got to do a little cleanup and then it's over with, a short-term thing. Or is it a winter, a season that might last maybe weeks or months or a year? Or is it a new age, a new ice age? And he wasn't talking about climate at this point. Have we entered a new age? I thought about that for a long time. I thought it was a very insightful question. And over the last several months, I've come to the conclusion that we are in a new ice age in the U.S. and maybe the rest of the Western world. And I'm not talking about climate change. And I don't think it began with the pandemic. I don't think that's when it began. I think it began in the 60s with the sexual revolution, with the feminist movement, with the beginning of the welfare state, and thinking we are entitled, and during the hard move away from Christian ethics and values that occurred at that time. Now, I could go back all the way maybe into the end of the 19th century when liberalism, the social gospel, started invading Christianity. Maybe that's when the Ice Age began. I'm not sure. It's possible. But all of that started, at least in the 1960s, has proceeded since then. And now we live in a divided country. And we also live in a divided church because of politics, because of greed, and because of misplaced sexuality. You know, President Donald Trump did not produce the division in our country. I believe that the division in our country produced Donald Trump as president. And whatever happens in November, I don't think our division is going away. I don't think it. I don't believe it for a minute. The pandemic, which the latest estimate I heard is going to take 310,000 people in the U.S. dead by the end of the year. The economic recession or depression, whichever way you're looking at it. Racial unrest, cultural unrest are all speeding up what I think was started years ago. It didn't just start. It's speeding up. It's speeding up. Amidst all this current tragedy and chaos, we're left with a simple admonition from God. The righteous will live by his faith. It still guides our path today as Christians. Faith means believing God will bring his kingdom to earth and then act as if that were true. The kingdom is coming. Faith means shaping our life according to the character of Jesus' coming kingdom. Shaping our life now for what kingdom life is going to look like. Faith means being faithful and steadfast in the obedience and love of Jesus, our beautiful Lord and Savior. persevering, in other words. Faith means trusting God that all his promises will come to pass. Faith means doing all this, even in the face of adversity, even unto death. Why is that? Why would a person do that? What could possibly motivate us to do that, even unto death? It's because we have been declared righteous by Jesus because of his sacrificial death on the cross. That's our motivation, because we know how this ends. Habakkuk. Habakkuk's response to God was to stay faithful during the Babylonian judgment. Our response to knowing Jesus is to stay faithful till he comes back. But there's an alternative lifestyle. And quite frankly, most people choose this lifestyle today. And the alternative to living by faith is to live like a Babylonian. And so far in Habakkuk, Babylonian values are clearly articulated. So let's look at just three of them. And I will tell you that these values were not new. They didn't just come about at Habakkuk's time. And as we look back at them, they're not old either. There's nothing new. From the beginning of time, man has wanted to decide for themselves what is right and wrong. Habakkuk 1:7 says, they are a law to themselves, meaning the Babylonians. They're a law to themselves. Back in the garden, the serpent tempted Adam and Eve, promising them that, quote, I quote, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You know, you don't have to listen to God and what he said is right and wrong. You get to decide what is right and wrong yourself. You be a law unto yourself. That's what the devil was telling Adam and Eve. People began rejecting God's determination of right and wrong in the garden. And they did it in Habakkuk's time, and they're still doing it today. Most people have trouble accepting a righteousness that comes from outside themselves. Our sinful impulses want to define our own righteousness, not accept God's or anyone else's. We are all born with a sinful, rebellious nature. And if you don't believe me, wait till the next time your toddler looks you right in the eye and says, no. Believe it. Habakkuk 1:7 also says this. They promote their own honor. Again, you can either live for your own self-exaltation and personal esteem, or you can live to exalt God for his glory. Either one. Quite frankly, social media is a lot about people glorifying themselves among others. People are always posting great pictures of themselves, telling them about great things. Do you ever see anything on social media saying, boy, I really messed up today. Boy, I'm dumb. I'm lazy. You never see any of that stuff because we're trying to exalt ourselves. Those thumbs up, those likes really mean a lot to people. Self-aggrandizement was important to the Babylonians, and it is still important to us today. Also, last thing, the Babylonians were described as greedy. Habakkuk 2:5 says, because he is as greedy as the grave and like death is never satisfied. You know, last week, Lori Loughlin and Jay Massimo Giannulli were sentenced for their part in the college admission scandal. Very important, very well documented. They paid bribes to get their daughters into USC. Now, Loughlin is a well-known Hollywood star. Remember Becky on, what was that show? Full House, yeah. Becky on Full House. Miss Goody Two-Shoes. And Giannulli, a world-renowned fashion designer. Listen to what the judge said to them at their sentencing. U.S. District Court Judge Nathaniel M. Gorton said this to Loughlin, and I quote, you are an admired, successful, professional actor with two healthy children, a long-standing marriage, and more money than you could possibly need. And you stand before me a convicted felon. And for what? For the inexplicable desire to have even more. Close quote. To Giannulli, The judge noted that he is more often tasked with imposing punishment on drug dealers and gun runners who come from troubled backgrounds. He told Giannulli that he found it hard to believe that a successful, savvy businessman whose upbringing was, in his own words, quote, fantastic, stood before him to be sentenced for a federal crime. Quote, you are not stealing bread to feed your family. You have no excuse for your crime, and that makes it all the more blameworthy. Close quotes. Now, I'm not picking on this couple because their greed is that unusual. Actually, the sad truth is that their greed isn't unusual at all. They just got caught and are very famous. Except for the grace of God, who knows who of any of us might not have done the same in the same circumstances. The truth is, when we live outside of God's laws and His Holy Spirit empowerment to do good, we can get puffed up about ourselves, that's in Habakkuk 2:4, and our desires can get crooked, not upright. Life outside the righteousness that only God can provide ends in judgment and death, an eternity away from God. And so, all men and women, all boys and girls are left with a simple binary choice. It's either this or that. You can be a Babylonian by way of crookedness and pride in judgment unto death, eternally being sentenced to be apart from God. Or you can choose to be a Christian in righteousness and faith, saved to eternal life. And the truth is, here it is, there are no other choices. There are no other choices. It's either one or the other. And every single one of us, every single man, woman, and child, every single boy and girl has to make that decision at some point in their life. And you have to make it in this life. There's no do-overs. If you have chosen the righteousness that comes only from God by way of believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, let me remind you about something. The God who met Habakkuk in the midst of the tragedy and chaos and the injustice at his time is the same God who met us at the cross and who judged all the injustice that has occurred since then and is still going on. That's the same God. So how do we wait for justice in our broken and corrupt world, in a life filled with tragedy and chaos? By faith in a just and faithful God. The righteous will live by faith in that God. What He commands is for our own good. What He promises will happen in His time. And now I want to invite anyone who has been living as a modern-day Babylonian to become righteous. Everyone has to make a decision about Jesus. Jesus came so that you might have life and have it to the full. Just like it says right there, life to the full, John 10:10. That's why Jesus came. Will you choose to continue in your own law, a law unto yourself? Jesus said this in Luke 11:23. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Again, there's no neutrality. You're either with Jesus or you're against Jesus. You're either gathering with Jesus or you're scattering against Jesus. There is no other choice. So I want to ask you, which way will you choose today? The way of life or the way of death? Seems like an easy choice. A way that is upright? I mean, that is not upright and crooked? Or the way that is righteous? I want you to know today, you are standing on holy ground. You've heard one of the most important verses in the entire Bible. How will you respond to that today? And I'm inviting you right now to a righteousness that cannot be earned. You can't earn this righteousness. I'm inviting you to receive a righteousness that is only from God who loves you dearly. I'm inviting you to receive a righteousness that is freely given to you But I want you to know it's a righteousness that was not free. It was a righteousness that was hard earned by Christ for you on the cross. He died for all the injustice. He died for every one of your sins. He died for every one of the crazy things that we've said and done. All those things that we're ashamed of, all the things that we feel guilt about. He died and paid the penalty for all of those things. Will you accept the righteousness that comes from God alone? Will you leave your old life to believe the good news of Jesus Christ? And if you wish to receive the righteousness that comes from God alone, please bow your head and pray with me. And I want to ask everyone to pray. If you want to pray this prayer with me out loud or in your heart, this is for those who have not received Jesus as Savior yet. If you want to receive Jesus as Savior, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer in your heart or say it right out loud so everybody that's with you can hear you. Either way, it's not the prayer that saves you. What saves you is your repentance of your sins and your belief in Jesus Christ. So please say this prayer with me. If you want the righteousness that comes from God, Lord, I know you love me. I know you love me dearly. But I also know that I have sinned against you. I admit my sin. I am sorry for my sin, and I want to stop sinning. I believe that your son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins and rose from the dead to prove that you accepted his sacrifice on my behalf. Lord, give me your Holy Spirit. Give me your forgiveness. And allow me to follow you all the days of my life. I want to praise you, God. Amen. Amen. If you said that prayer, write me a little note on Facebook, and I'll get back to you and help you start with your new life. Or you can call me or email me, and I'll help you.